This is Shane Gibson's Closing Bigger Sales Podcast from closingbigger.net. This is day 7 of the 28 days to better selling. Today we're going to focus on lead nurturing. Lead nurturing is really about taking that contact that we've met, that we've got that initial rapport with, that we've got permission to begin the relationship, and then move it to a place where they're going to be open to doing business with us or open to taking our advice, our statements, our proposals, or even looking at our insight. So in a lot of cases, we've got great information, but we don't have an openness on the other end to accept that information. Or in a lot of cases also, that client is holding the keys to what it would help us to do business with them. They've got a core need or desire, yet they don't have enough trust with us at this point to truly share it with us so we can help them. So lead nurturing is really about that. So there's a core formula my father shared with me a number of years ago, and it was time plus genuine assistance will establish a relationship. And that relationship will help us build a commitment from both parties. So let's talk about it. Time. Over a period of time, relationships are established and solidified. But what occurs, how that can occur, is the frequency of contact over that period of time. But it's not just frequency of contact, it's genuine assistance. Or sometimes genuine engagement. We're not assisting them particularly, but we may be engaging them in the way of entertaining them or just being a good friend. So as we look at this, time plus genuine assistance build that relationship, and then over time, there's a commitment. There's a commitment often from that person to do business with us. There's a commitment from them to share the truth with us, and there's also a commitment from us as a sales professional to go the extra mile and really do our best to be customer-focused. So when we're talking about being customer-focused, this is another key part of lead nurturing, is in many sales processes, what their sales process is about the product. All the questions they ask the client lead to the product need. They're not asked, for instance, to establish the true need of the client. They're there to try to push a product or service on them. All their dialogue, often all their correspondence, is all about following up and pushing towards that deal. In the past, historically, traditional drip marketing processes were around that. It was all about pushing and moving people forward. I believe we always have to set the next step. But that next step always has to be completely customer-focused and relevant for them and customized for the individual. So that's the next step. In your lead nurturing activities, my question is there anything in our sales process that should be thrown out that doesn't really serve the customer or is not customer-focused? Also, another thing I want to look at here is there anything in our sales process that needs to be deleted? In other words, if I'm picking up the phone calling you saying, hi, do you want to buy? Hi, do you want to buy? Hi, do you want to buy? Hey, do you like me now? Or there's a particular step or process or piece of paperwork or formality that's there that isn't about serving the customer, isn't about establishing the relationship or moving it forward, is there a way we can automate it, do it for them, or delete it? And the last thing we're going to look at as well, and this is really a key factor, and I'm going to roll back towards this here in a second, is in your sales process, does each step have a goal? In each step with that, in that goal, is it really truly about moving forward or is it in isolation? So in other words, is there a natural progression to the next step in the sales process and or the relationship development process? Now, I've said two things here that sound like they almost counteract each other. One of them says, make sure you're client-focused. The other one says, make sure you're always moving forward. What I'm really talking about is making sure you're always moving forward in a way of keeping connection. So here's why. Number one, most deals don't happen because sales professionals fail to follow through. Or they fail to be customer-focused. And lastly, they might follow through, but they leave large gaps in the sales process where doubt can enter the mind of the prospect. So it doesn't mean we have to close them. What it means is that in between is to be continually engaging and developing that relationship. So here's a few thoughts, some things I see. Number one, often in the sales process, we sit down with a prospect, they've agreed to meet with us, they're excited, we've done an initial needs analysis, or we've presented something around our program, they're excited, and we say something like, hey, I will talk to you a little bit later this week, I'll follow up with you, say, fantastic, I'm looking forward to it. Then you call them, and a couple things happened. A, they've cooled off, not because maybe what you have to offer isn't going to meet a need, but because other things have come up. B, This is the other side that occurs is you call and there is no answer. There is no answer to the email because they're too busy to get back to us because they intended well because they've cooled off. And so the first step I always suggest in any process, whether it's a phone call or you sent them an email or you're going to send through a proposal, is a quick question asking, great, so this is going to be on your desk tomorrow at this time. And how much time do you feel you need to review this effectively? How much time would you like? And their answer will be, well, probably just a couple of days. You say, fantastic. And the next thing you want to do is say, great, well, tomorrow's Monday, so you know, probably let's say Wednesday, I'll give you a call and follow up just to make sure you don't have any key questions or that there might be an issue that hasn't been addressed in proposal that you'd like me to adjust. And then from that perspective, often they're going to say to you, and this is the typical answer, is, you know what, I'm not sure if Wednesday is going to work, but why don't you drop me an email or give me a call and we'll see if we can set a time at some point this week. And here's my suggestion. Is often that's where deals die. What we want to do is always be setting the next step. So my answer to this is, you know what? I've been playing a lot of telephone tag with clients lately. We're all pretty busy. And why don't we just set a tentative time? And then if you have to reschedule me, that's okay. Now, in most cases, actually, I haven't had anybody refuse that to date, is they'll say, fantastic, Shane, yeah, that works for me. If I do have to reschedule it, that's great, no problem. And in a lot of cases, even if they do have to reschedule it, they reschedule it. If you don't have an appointment set and you're calling and calling for an appointment after you send a proposal or after you sent through initial information, in a lot of cases, you can lose the deal because the client cools off. And 1 week turns into two, turns into three, turns into 2 months, and that person doesn't even remember your name. So make sure you're always setting the next step. It might not be to close the deal. It might be just for a quick follow-up. In addition to this, this is one of the things I do in my calendar, is I set a recurring appointment with all my A-category prospects and clients for about every 3 weeks, so that when their name pops up, I give them a call, I send them an email, I might send through even a link to a recent blog entry I did that they might find interesting, or even a podcast like this one. But I always, every 3 weeks, make sure whether or not they're actively in the sales process, I'm nurturing that relationship by adding value. And here's the key. Never pick up the phone, never send an email, never send through a piece of information or ask them a question unless it's going to add value from a business perspective or a professional perspective. And lastly, and going back to this again, is there anything in these steps that looks like a major pitch with no value? Is there anything in these steps that is redundant? And this is one of the things we need to do as well in our sales process and lead nurturing, is anything that seems insincere, too pushy, or, and this is a big one, generic. In other words, yes, it's valuable information, but it's the same letter or the same brochure or the same PDF or the same piece of information that you give to everybody. Take time with your A-category prospects in your lead nurturing process to really customize and make it personal. So here's your assignment for today. Number one, answer these three questions. These are written as well in the blog entries. Number one, do I have a structured process for follow-up over the lifetime of the relationship? In other words, make sure you're continually following up and following through, even in times of rejuvenation where the prospect can't do business with you, in a value-added way. Number two, is there anywhere in the process where I don't have solid goals or book the next step? Each meeting should have a goal. Even if the goal is just to get yourself top of mind, or your goal is to get more information, or your goal is to genuinely assist the prospect, make sure before you pick up the phone that you understand what the objective is for that. Before you write an email, you understand the objective for that particular interaction, so you're continually adding value and not adding noise. And lastly, number three is ask the question, is there anything that is not client-focused in my dialogue or in my sales process that needs to have more depth or be deleted altogether? Again, this is day 7 of your 28 Days to Better Selling with Shane Gibson from closingbigger.net.